Thanks, guys. I love you too, Danny. I love all of you. Can you feel the love? Hey, how y'all doing? Good. Who likes cheese balls? Yeah. All right. I'm in the right place. Awesome. Well, if you don't recognize me, I'm the girl in the video. And it was my brother and I that wrote that song and performed it. And I have been carrying cheese balls on my back for a little over 6 months. And it's not the same container, don't worry. This is my 16th container. So I've handed out, there's about 1,000 cheese balls in each container. So I'm definitely over handing out 10,000 cheese balls over the summer. It's pretty sweet. I'll tell you a little bit about it, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. So I was traveling from Virginia home to Minneapolis, and I was speaking at a conference, and they had this big container of cheese balls, not this one, but a container. And we'd only made it halfway through the container during this weekend, and so they said, oh, what a shame, they're going to all go to waste, unless someone wants to bring them home on the airplane. And so I said, I will. And so I'm walking through Virginia Beach Airport with the cheese balls in my arms and then pulling my luggage, and every person that I passed was like smiling so big. It was really funny. And then when I went through security, I put my shoes in a bin, put my laptop in a bin, and then I had to put the cheese balls in a bin. And they came out of the other side of the scanner, and like 8 security guards were like, cheese balls. And it was awesome. It made everyone smile. Then I got on the plane, and I'm not kidding, I got announced 3 times over the intercom by the flight attendant as the cheese ball lady handing out snacks in aisle 9D. And then I got into Chicago O'Hare Airport, and we were snowed in, and people in the airport were recognizing me and saying, hey, you were on my flight. And so I'd like offer people cheese balls, you know. And they'd laugh, and they'd like pretend they want them, and then when I really like opened the lid, they'd be like, oh, no, thanks. So I felt kind of bad. So I went home, and I told my friends about the awesome experience of how like cheese balls just seemed to bring the world together. And I decided that I would come up with a duct tape harness. And so this is the original duct tape harness, comes in and out, and that I'd walk around with cheese balls. I did it, you know, for a couple days, but no one would eat the cheese balls because the lid had been opened, right? They don't know whose hands have been in there. And so you saw at the end of my video, Jim at Home Depot and my brother helped me construct a dispenser where the lid stays sealed. If you come close, you can see the lid has never been opened. And so the cheese balls are not compromised. And so you will get sanitary cheese balls from me. You saw in the video, I take them just about everywhere. It's been an awesome experience. I'm going to tell you a few stories in a minute. But I want to know if there's a volunteer who wants to see how this works. Anybody want cheese balls? Yes, kid in the afro. I was hoping you'd raise your hand. Come on down. Thank you so much for volunteering. Come on up. I was in the back, and I was like, I really hope he's the volunteer, because I really want to touch your hair. Can I? No one does? Is that like the rule? Yeah, but will you let me touch your hair?
I have 2 cheese balls.
Well, we'll see. Okay, that's the thing. Is you never know how many cheese balls come out. The record has been 8. It was actually made earlier this summer at Trout Lake Camp. One guy got 8. He was so excited. Average is 2 or 3, so we'll see how you do. But the rule is when you meet me this weekend, you have to tell me your name and something you like that starts with the letter of your name.
Easy.
Okay.
My name's Brad.
Brad.
And I like basketball.
Basketball. Okay, sweet. So, Brad, you put your hand under here, and then I'll pull it out for you. And you got 2. Okay, now eat it. Let's hear the crunch. Yes. Okay, now can I touch your hair? Thank you. Oh. Okay, sweet. Awesome. It was her. Are we still friends, Brad? Okay, thank you. That was a good shot. I played basketball. Can you tell? Slow pitch softball? Yeah? All right. It might still be in your hood. You can eat it tomorrow morning. All right. I would love to give you all cheese balls. I was here 2 weeks ago at Trout, and I went through the entire container of 1,000 cheese balls, and it was less than you. So we'll have to be careful of how many you get, but I would love to give you all. You'd at least, all of you could get at least 1 cheese ball, probably 2. So we'll see. All right, a little bit about me, and I'll tell you more about the cheese balls. How old do you think I am? Yell it out.
23.
Okay, you can be done.
23.
All right, I am not 23. I'm 27. I just had a birthday. I know I look like I'm 18. The reason I ask you guys to guess is because you always say younger, and it makes me feel good. So thank you for boosting my self-esteem. I'm 27 years old. I grew up in Minneapolis. I live in Roseville. And I have a degree in education, so I went to college to be a teacher. So I could be your teacher. But instead of taking a teaching job after college, I chose to open a coffee shop in Minneapolis for my dad. It's called Overflow. So check it out. But I won't be there because my full-time job now is to travel around not only the cities, but out of state as well and talk to teenagers. It's pretty exciting. If you recognize me, it might be because I've been at your school, either at an assembly or a health class, telling you to keep your pants on until you're married. That's what I talk about. Yeah! Who's gonna keep their pants on? Yeah! All right, good. I'm so glad you're all gonna keep your pants on. At least please keep them on this weekend, okay? All right. So my full-time job is to have fun and to hang out with teenagers. I love it. I love sports. You'll see me out on the lawn with a frisbee, so please come throw me one. I won't catch it in my mouth like a dog, but I'll try to do tricks for you. I played volleyball in college, and I love, love, love adventure and traveling. I've been to China, Turkey, Mexico, Israel, Greece, Japan, and Saipan. Saipan is a little island in the South Pacific, and I got to teach little kids how to play ultimate frisbee there. That was my job, and then I went cliff jumping in my spare time, so that was fun. Last summer, I went on probably my craziest adventure ever. I went spearfishing in the Bahamas. Yeah, so I fly down to the Florida Keys, and I get off the plane and meet my friend who's like the expert spear fisherman. And so the first thing I say is, okay, if I see a shark, what do? And he said, you won't see a shark. I said, okay, but what if I do? Because they're in the ocean. I need to know, you know, my escape route. He said, well, you won't see a shark, but okay, fine. In case you see a shark, just make sure that your heart rate doesn't elevate. Right. So that is the dumbest thing you could ever tell someone who's already freaked out about sharks. So I decided I wouldn't let my heart rate elevate if I saw a shark, but I wasn't going to see a shark, right? First day, I go into the water. I'm under the water with my big spear. It's pretty sweet. My confidence is building, and then as I shoot my first fish, I'm like really excited. This is fun. I don't see any sharks. The fish, you know, when you shoot things, kind of bleeds and stuff. So I'm thinking we put the fish, the bloody, gutty fish in the boat, right? My friend is an overconfident swimmer or something, man of the ocean, I don't know. He put the dead, bloody fish on his stringer, on his hip, and he's just swimming around. And now he has the gun and I don't. Okay, what likes blood? Sharks. So we had about 10 feet of visibility. Out of the murky water, a big shark. It was real. It was like the Discovery Channel with real teeth and everything, except there wasn't a screen between me and the shark. Yeah, I wish there was. So there I am, trying to make sure my heart rate doesn't elevate, right? It's beating out of my swimsuit. I'm like trying to keep it in. My friend had the gun, and the shark was like, you know, trying to go after my friend and the fish on his hip and then looking at me and like licking his lips. Well, he didn't really do that, but he looked like he wanted to eat me. And I'm just praying. And my friend had to take the spear gun, and at first he just gently tapped it in the nose because sharks' noses are the most sensitive part of their body. And he would just tap a little bit. It made the shark more angry, and he would come closer. He was like this far from me. Finally, my friend jabbed the shark in the nose one last time, and the shark kind of like looked aggravated and just turned around and swam, and I booked it for the boat. And I did not get in the ocean hardly anymore that week. I feel like a wuss. But can I say that I survived a shark attack? No? Okay, fine. All right. That was a sweet adventure. Another adventure that I'm recently undertaking is learning what it's like to be engaged. I just got engaged. Thank you. There's a picture. Yeah, my fiance, Craig Sanborn, knows me well and wanted to propose with the cheese balls, but the only day I didn't bring the cheese balls was the day he proposed. So this is us reenacting it. You can watch the full reenactment on youtube.com/cheeseballchick. And Craig is actually here today. Stand up, honey. Clap for Craig! Thanks. Thanks for clapping for him. I like him. He's a good guy. All right. Man, I love life. I love having fun. I love carrying cheese balls around on my back. I told you a guy, I would tell you a story. So this last summer, I was flying from Minneapolis to Washington to speak at a camp. And I got on the flight, and I was minding my own business, holding my cheese balls. I think it was on cheese ball container 4 or 5. And the flight attendant saw my cheese balls, and they actually asked me to get up and hand them out on the flight. And here's a picture of me and the flight attendants. And I was like, really? You want me to hand them out on the flight? And they said, yeah, we'll follow you with water. They did. They really did. For an hour and a half, I walked up and down the aisles of the plane handing out cheese balls. It was awesome. And then I got off the flight, and I was about 10 minutes removed from the airplane. We were standing at the tram. There's a bunch of people from the flight there. And this woman comes up to me, and I didn't recognize her, but I guess she was on the plane because she knew my name. And so she got real close, and she looked real serious, and she said, Molly, I just want to thank you for bringing the cheese balls on the plane. I was like, okay, cool. And she said, because my family and I were traveling back from my aunt, my aunt's funeral, and so, you know, I was thinking she was going to say, I made her smile, and that's cool. So I said, oh, good, you're welcome. And she said, no. But the thing is my aunt Lillian, her thing was, every time we went to her house, her thing was she'd have the huge container of Utz cheese balls, and she'd hand them out to us. It was kind of her thing. And she said, and here you are on the flight back from the funeral, handing out cheese balls in an airplane. Nobody else in the whole nation is doing that, and it was on her flight. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God using cheese balls to bless that family. Isn't that awesome? That's a picture of the family, and she... And I told her, I said, you know what, I believe that's the Lord. And she agreed, and she kind of started tearing up, and she pulled it out like a really weird piece of fruit from her purse and gave it to me, because I think she felt like she needed to give me something. Yeah, but that was pretty sweet. Man, that makes me excited about God. I love that God can use cheese balls for, you know, for his glory. Then one other story I want to tell you briefly. I was going to Rosedale Mall and strapped the cheese balls on my back. And before I went in, I prayed kind of like normal that God would maybe use the cheese balls for his glory and for an opportunity to talk to people about him, if that would come up. I'm walking down the mall, and I end up seeing these girls from the side that are checking out my cheese balls. Everybody checks out my cheese balls. I'm used to it. And the next thing you know, I'm talking to these girls for an hour. We have an hour conversation, and I love teenage girls. I love teenage guys, too. But because I'm a girl, I'm able to connect with these young ladies, and I'd actually been praying that God would hook me up with being able to mentor some teenage girls. And so when I met these girls in the mall, I was like, maybe these are the girls. They told me they'd email me. We got to talk about the Lord and went home, and like a month went by. I never heard from them. I was kind of bummed. And then about a month and a half later, in the middle of the summer, my pastor's wife writes me an email, and she says, Molly, I was just on your blog checking out all your cheese ball adventures, and I saw a picture of two of my students that go to the alternative high school that I teach at, Helen and Jen. And then I went to school, and I asked them about them meeting you, and they said that they really liked you, and they'd like to talk to you again. And then she said, and Molly, the thing is that they're about to drop out of school unless they get a mentor, and so we're wondering if you'd be their mentor. And so I just finished the paperwork. I'm going to be their mentor because I brought cheese balls into the mall and asked the Lord to bless it. Isn't that sweet? I love God. I love God. I love God. I love cheese balls. I love Craig. Love you, Craig. I love camp. Who loves camp? Yeah? Man, I love camp. I love teenagers. In fact, you guys, I kind of wish I still was a teenager. Those were awesome years. And I know it's one thing for me to stand up here and say, you know, I remember what it was like 10, you know, 15 years ago when I was your age. But some of you might be thinking, oh, no, you don't really remember. Well, I'm going to prove it to you because I have journals from when I was your age, all right? So we're going to take a look back into yesteryears just so you know that I get where you're at. This is when I was 12 years old, and on August 24th, 1994, I know some of you were not yet born, I've written letters to Jesus since I was 12 years old. It's kind of my journal. So I wrote, Dear Lord, hello, how are you? I said, I can't wait to get back to school. I don't know what my problem was. And then I wrote, Do you think it's all right to hope there's new boys in seventh grade? I know that you know that I like boys. Could you somehow let me know what you think about me being interested in boys? If you really don't want me to, I will try my hardest not to be anything more than friends. Okay. That was 7th grade. Okay, I got another one from 7th grade. Dear Lord, please help me to have no zits or pimples tomorrow. Please help the zit on my chin be gone tomorrow. Okay, moving right along. That's it. It's still here. All right. This is 14 years ago. I was at camp. It was a fall retreat when I was in 7th grade, my camp in Iowa I grew up at. Dear Jesus, guess what? Justin isn't here. I'm so sad. Tony isn't either. I guess I was two-timing. No, I wasn't really. I just like two boys at the same time. You know how I'm disappointed in a bunch of stuff like the situation with cabins, friends, counselors, and stuff? Ooh, I was having a rough time. Please help it all work out and everything. I trust you will. And then I wrote, guys, I'm being really vulnerable with you right now, just so you know. Because I wrote, please help my shorts dry out and not smell by tomorrow. You know what happened. I don't even know what happened. I don't remember. I don't remember what happened. I really don't. It's like, I don't know. It was so stressful. I just blanked it out. All right. Okay, now I got 9th graders here, so I found 9th grade. Okay, then, oh, look, right, I write to God. God, I haven't had any pimples for a long time. That may seem little, but it means a lot to me. God, I have a real big request, okay, as a 9th grader, a real big request. In about 2 weeks from now, I'm going to the orthodontist. There is a chance that I could get my braces off before the bike trip and senior high camp. God, you know how much I have wanted that to happen. Just please put your awesome, powerful hand in the situation and do what you know is best. Please help Mr. Zemke, my orthodontist, to take my braces off. I really want Zach to see me without my braces. Okay, all right. And from 12th grade. All right, from 12th grade, senior at camp, I wrote, this is at camp, it was a fall retreat my senior year. Jesus, I'm just going to be straight out honest with you. I feel far away from you. It seems like I'm doing all the right things, but all of a sudden, it seems like my heart is distant and not as passionate for you. I just want to be all sold out to you. Please do what it takes to light my fire. Jesus, I love you. I know you love me. Please make yourself evident in my life. That was at camp, the beginning of a fall retreat. I want to end on happier note from my journals. We're going to go back to 7th grade. And I wrote here, Dear Jesus, you know how Luke and Dan both like Allison? Well, even though I don't like them, I kind of wish they'd like me. Is that okay? And then I wrote, Please help me some way to get my teeth whiter, if it's your will. How we doing? I don't know if any of you relate to those entries I read from 7th grade, 9th grade, 12th grade. Some of you, I realize, are here tonight, and all you're thinking about is the cute boy two rows in front. You know what I'm talking about. Right there. Okay. Some of you are here tonight. Some of you are here tonight, and maybe you're praying that God will make your teeth whiter. Or maybe you're here tonight and it's hard for you to concentrate because you can't stop thinking about what's going on back home. You can't stop thinking about what's going on with your parents or what just happened in school this afternoon and how is it going to get resolved on Monday. Some of you might be distracted because you don't even know why you're here. You don't even know who God is. Or maybe you knew him at one point and now, like I wrote in 12th grade, maybe you feel really distant from him. We're all on different pages and I get that. But there is one similar place, one place that we all meet tonight, and that is at Trout Lake Camp, and it is no mistake that every single one of you is supposed to be here tonight. And I believe that it's to have a lot of fun, it's to learn how to go on the slack line, I believe that it's to get my cheese balls, just be nice, don't attack me, but I believe ultimately that you all are here because God wants to meet with you and he wants to do some sweet work in your life. So regardless of where you're at, whether you're concerned about your white teeth, or the boy two rows ahead of you, I'm going to ask that you guys remember that you're supposed to be here and that God wants to do work in your life. I want to read to you my favorite verse tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn in the book of Psalms, chapter 40. We're going to go to verse 8. Psalms 40, verse 8. It always fascinates me how, like, mouths open as soon as you open your Bibles, you know, like, so, Bob, how are you doing today? Okay. You know what I'm talking about? All right. When we open up the Bible, let's keep the mouth shut. Out of respect for God, respect for your neighbor, maybe respect for me. I have a cold. It's hard to talk over you. Okay, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 40. I'm going to read to you 8 through 10. I want to share with you my favorite set of verses. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. I want you to look back or listen as I read the end of verse 9. David, the king of David, a man after God's own heart, he says this. We should listen to what he says about God. He says to God, I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. Isn't that cool how he says to God, as you know, O Lord? Like, I read that and I think, wow, you know, David sounds like he's absolutely confident that God knows that he's not going to shut up about the good things that he's done in David's life. I love that verse. I want that to be my theme that I live by, that when God does something sweet in my life, that I'm going to open my lips and God is sure of it. And so tonight, I'm going to just end by doing something really simple, and I want to celebrate God. I want to tell you guys the two reasons that get me excited about God. Now, there's way more than two reasons, but I just want to highlight two things about God that makes me excited about him. And I'm going to ask you to listen in and maybe identify with me and see if this doesn't get you excited about God too. Have you looked around our world? Like, have you seen what God has made? I think he's a pretty sweet creator, huh? God is an amazing creator. It blows me away. From the Grand Canyon to Niagara Falls. Yeah, God made that. That gets me excited about him. I want to open my lips and talk about that. To Mount Everest. It'd be sweet to climb someday, huh? To winding rivers. I like that. It'd be sweet. God made shooting stars. God made those. That makes me excited about him. He's a great creator. To silly animals that smile. God made that. Isn't that awesome? I don't think it was a mistake that God made horses' mouths so big that they could look silly like that. That's funny. God made that. That makes me excited about him. God made beautiful, gorgeous flowers. I think that's from the rainforest. At least that's what the website said. sorry, didn't take it. It makes me excited that God's the kind of God that would create butterflies that are camouflaged to look like they're owls. Isn't that sweet? That's called the owl butterfly. I love that butterfly. That makes me excited about God. I love camels. Isn't that funny? God made that. And we can't forget the ostriches. It kind of scares me. I can feel this is going to jump out and bite me. Man, I love that God made rainbows. Isn't that beautiful? God made that. He is the creator of that, and that's awesome. But beyond all of those things, those pictures I just showed you and the things that you're in awe of, maybe the changing colors of the leaves, whether it be the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls, God made you. And God made me. God created you. That's a picture of an ultrasound of a baby being knit together in a womb. In Psalm 139, we read that God knew you before you were born, and that he knows the hairs on your head. He knows your thoughts. God, the creator of the amazing, intricate, beautiful universe, is the creator of you and me. God, the creator, that blows me away. I love that about God. It makes me excited about him. It makes me want to talk about him. But even more than that is the last reason I want to share with you that excites me about God, that God, the creator of this amazing world, He cares about you. He cares about you, about you. He cares about you and your life and what matters to you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about your struggles, your joys, and he loves you. In John 17:3, you can turn there if you want. Otherwise, just listen because it's a short verse. John 17:3, not only the Bible talks about God caring for us and loving us, but it talks about how God wants to know us. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life, that we may know God and we may know Jesus Christ. Like, know him, not just know of him or know about him or know the good facts in the Bible, but actually know him. God, the creator of this phenomenal universe, the God that knit you together, cares about you and wants to know you. That gets me excited about him. And to illustrate that, in case any of you are doubting that God cares about you and cares about the little things in your life, I'm going to share with you my all-time favorite God story. My sister is one of my best friends, and about 10 years ago, she got married, and a couple years into their marriage, she got pregnant for the first time, and that was exciting, you know, first family member to have a baby. And so I went up to my sister and my brother-in-law, and I said, "Hey, guys, can I maybe be there in the delivery room when the baby's born?" I was totally shot down. They didn't even think about it. They're like, no. So they had Nolan, my nephew, and I proved that I was a really good auntie. And then they got pregnant the second time a few years later, and I went knocking at their door. "Hey, guys, you've seen one by yourself. Can I be there?" And they said no. They didn't even think about it. So third time they got pregnant about 5 years ago, I was like, "Seriously, guys, come on." And they actually surprised me, and after they came back from the initial doctor's appointment, they said, "Molly, we found out that the due date is 2 weeks before your birthday. My birthday is October 11th, and the baby was due, like, at the end of September." And they said, "We've decided that if the baby is born on your birthday, then you can be there in the delivery room." And so guess what I did? I started praying. And I said to God, I said, "Lord, if this baby is born on my birthday, you know I won't shut up about it. Like David said, I will not seal my lips. I will tell the world about it. Please let the baby be born on my birthday." And I would go over to my sister's house, and I would tell the baby the battle plan. And, you know, I'd tell it, you know, when it should come out and not until October 11th, an escape route down. Actually, I didn't say that. That's kind of weird. Sometimes I don't know where those things come from. Sorry. I think the baby figured it out. It was gonna understand the escape route. And so I would go over to my sister's house, and I would, you know, tell them I was praying about the baby, and I would pray about other more important things, but I did pray about this. And about 4 weeks before October 11th, my sister started having contractions. And she went into the hospital, and I was like, "No!" And she was like, "Yes, I want to have this baby." The doctor sent her home and said, "Sorry, this baby's not ready to come out." And I'm shouting hallelujah. My sister's in agony. She goes into false labor another time. False labor is when you think you're going to have the baby, but you don't. I think it's because I was praying. And because God cares about the little things in life that matter to you. And so it came to be October 10th. It was a Sunday, and it was the day before my birthday. I was doing homework on my bed at my parents' house where I used to live. And I realized the next day is October 11th. And the baby hadn't come yet, so maybe it could come on my birthday. And so I started praying, again, hardcore, and I said, "Lord, please let this baby be born on my birthday. That'd be so cool, and I will tell the world." But then I thought about my day, and I realized I had to coach volleyball at 9 in the morning, and then I had to go to class until 3, and then I had my own volleyball practice. And so basically, the baby could not come between the hours of 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. And so I prayed a little more specifically. And I prayed that the baby would come at midnight on October 11th so we could get it done out of the way in the middle of the night, and then I could go on with my day. All right, I know that sounds really selfish, but I said, "Lord, if it's convenient for everyone else, right?" And so I prayed that, and I thought, you know, maybe I should help the Lord out in this prayer. And so I decided that I would go over to my sister's house and try to induce her labor. Now, I didn't know how to induce labor, so I Googled it. And found out some interesting things I didn't really want to know. But I went over there with a big bag of stuff, and I told my sister the plan, but I did not tell her that I prayed the midnight prayer. I left that a secret. I just said, "Hey, I want to get this baby going so it comes out tomorrow." And she said, "Okay, as long as I'm comfortable." So the first thing we did is we went on a brisk walk, swinging our arms and moving our hips around the neighborhood. It was about 8 o'clock at night. She hadn't had contractions for days. And she's like, Molly, this is not going to happen. And I was like, I'm praying, Rachel. And I can see the place on the block. I can picture it in my mind. She bends over. Ah! And I'm like, woo! Hallelujah! She has her first contraction. It was awesome. Then we get up, we're walking to her steps, and she bends over on the steps with another contraction. And then we get into her living room, and I put her on a spinning exercise disc. Yeah, she thought that was fun. She has more contractions. Then she's laying on the couch, and I took a rolling pin. I don't have a picture of this, and I rolled it over her stomach, you know, back and forth. I was gentle. And we're timing the contractions, but they're still not far enough, they're not close enough apart to go to the hospital. And so at 10 o'clock at night, she sent me home and she said, Molly, I'll let you know if this happens. Just let me try to go to bed for now because it might not be the real thing. So I drive home smiling really big. I'm like singing praises about what I think is happening. And I get home, do some homework at the kitchen table. Remember, I had not told anyone but God the midnight prayer. The phone rings. My dad, it looks at me, I'm at the dining room table, he looks at the clock, looks back at me, huge smile. It was midnight on the dot. My sister and brother-in-law called and said, hey, we're going to the hospital, we're ready, and we would love for Molly to be there. And so I jumped in the car, I stopped at Super America, got an extra large cappuccino because I knew it'd be a late night, and I got into the delivery room, and my sister was kind of going through the, like, heavy breathing stuff, and I was a little awkward, right? I mean, I'm like, really, did I pray for this? And so I am hanging out in the corner. I'm like totally fine to be hanging out in the corner. I'm kind of like, you know, like this. It gets time for her to start, you know, delivering the baby. And I'm like way content in the corner, right? Bird's eye view is fine with me. The midwife yells out, sister, sister, come hold her leg. I looked for a nun. I'm serious. It was not me. She kept insisting, and so I kind of went over there, and I, like, you know, it was a little more than I wanted. It was a lot more than I expected, but it was the most amazing thing to be able to watch my nephew Daniel be born at 4:16 a.m. on October 11th. Yeah, he's a pretty sweet guy. And it blows me away that God, the creator of Niagara Falls and funny ostriches, is a God that wants to be involved in every part of our life. And so the Daniel story, I tell it as often as I can because I don't want to seal my lips about the good things that God's done in my life. He is a God that deserves to be praised. So Daniel and I have a little tradition every year now. I have a birthday girl hat and a birthday boy hat. That's year number one. This is year number two for Daniel. This is year number three. That's my couch. Do you like my couch? It's pretty cute, huh? And this was just 2 weeks ago, me and Daniel. And actually, he has a little message for you guys tonight. So listen up. Hey, Daniel.
Yeah.
Can you wave to the people watching the video?
Yeah.
Okay. Say hi.
Hi.
And Daniel, what happened 4 years ago? What special thing happened?
Me and you were born on my birthday.
Me and you were born on your birthday, exactly. And Daniel, who let that happen?
Jesus.
That's right. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Do you also love cheese balls?
Yeah.
Do you think that I should give you one?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. All right, let's hear the crunch. Yeah. Awesome, Dan. I love you, buddy. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, clap for God, man. Teenagers, if I could just leave you with one thing tonight. God, the Creator, cares about you, and absolutely nothing in this world compares to knowing Him. Nothing compares. That's what Paul says in Philippians 3:8, and I've come to know that myself. And it's a journey. I don't know God as good as I want to, but I know Him more than I did in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, because I chose to get to know Jesus, God, the Creator that cares. And so this weekend, wherever you're at, I'm just going to ask you guys to dig in and listen to the Lord because He wants to talk to you, and I believe that He wants to change lives this weekend. So on that note, let's pray, and then we're going to have macho nachos. Okay. All right. I shouldn't have said that. Okay, let's pray. God, you are amazing, and man, you get me excited. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us come to know you more this weekend. I want to get to know you more this weekend. God, I pray that you would just make yourself real and evident to us each personally. Lord, thank you for being the creator that cares. Thank you for being a God that can use cheese balls and a God that cares about babies being born on birthdays. And God, if that matters to you, I know that the bigger issues going on in these teenagers' lives, they matter so much to you. So please help us learn how to give control over to you this weekend. And please protect us, help us to have fun, and I pray that you would be glorified. Thank you, God, for being a creator that cares. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys.